If you have a Bible, I'd like for you to open it to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to be speaking today on the subject, the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel. And our text will be taken from Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 through 23. Now, if you will, follow along while I read the scripture now. And while you're finding the scripture, I remind you that this message can be obtained on a cassette tape. I'll tell you at the end of the program how to get the tape. But now let's read from Colossians 1, verse 19, the hope of the gospel. In verse 19, Paul declares, "It pleased God, it pleased the Father, that in Christ Jesus should all fullness dwell." In other words, all the fullness of deity is in Jesus Christ, for he's equal with God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He said, "I and the Father are one," and he is God manifest in the flesh. Isaiah said, "Call his name Emmanuel, God with us." So in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of deity, not only deity, but all the fullness of glory. The very glory of God, that which is God's alone, his glory, is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. The very glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. All the fullness of God's glory. And then all the fullness of his grace. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He is the grace of God. All the fullness of God's grace and mercy and love is in Jesus Christ. And beside that, the fullness of his wisdom, because he's called the wisdom of God. The fullness of God's righteousness, because he is the very righteousness of God. And the fullness of eternal life is in Jesus Christ, because he that hath the Son hath eternal life. So verse 19 is rich. Paul says, "It pleased God, it was according to the will of the Father, that in Jesus Christ should all fullness," Christ is all and in all, and all fullness dwells in him. Now look at the next verse, verse 20. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, he reconciled all things unto himself, in heaven and earth." In other words, all believers who were then in heaven when he died and who were then on earth, Moses was already in heaven, Isaiah was already in heaven, the disciples were still on earth. You and I had not been born. But Jesus Christ, by the blood of his cross, reconciled, when he died, all believers to God, whether they were already in heaven or whether they were on the earth. He redeemed them. He forgave them of all their sins by the sacrifice of himself. He put away all their transgressions. Paul, writing about this in Romans 3, says, "We're freely and fully justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And Peter wrote, "We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot and without blemish." So by the sacrifice of himself, he reconciled us to God by his blood, justifying us freely, making us accepted in himself. Now verse 21. Verse 21 says, "And you," now Paul's writing here to the Gentiles, "and you Gentiles, you pagans, you idolaters, you who were alienated from God." In other words, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We didn't have any part in the promises to the fathers. But we were alienated from God, and we were enemies by our wicked works. Romans chapter 1 describes us. Pagan, idolaters, will worshippers. We were alienated from God. We were enemies of God. And yet hath he now, it's a present blessing, hath he now reconciled you in Christ. You're made sons of God, from an enemy to a very child of God, from a pagan to an heir of righteousness, from an idolater to one accepted in the Beloved. Think about that. How did he reconcile us? How did he redeem us? It says in verse 22, listen, in the body of his flesh, through death, Christ, our representative, lived to give us a perfect righteousness and died to give us acceptance before the justice of Almighty God. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Already, right now, hath he now, do you hear that? In the body of his flesh, he hath now reconciled us to God. Now, what's the results of this? What's the results of Christ, all fullness dwelling in him? What's the results of his perfect life? What's the results of his sacrificial death? Listen, verse 22. And he will present us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight. He will present us. And you Gentiles, pagans, enemies of God, alienated from God, enemies in your minds, idolaters, yet hath he now, through the blood of his cross, through the death of his Son, reconciled you to God and given you peace. And not only that, but made you who were unholy, holy. Made you who were so chargeable, unblameable. Made you unreprovable in his sight. Jude said, he will keep us from falling and he will present us faultless. Absolutely faultless before the presence of his glory. You know what he's saying here? He's saying that every true believer in Jesus Christ is perfect. Perfect in the sight of God. Perfect before God. He is saying that every true believer in Jesus Christ is actually sanctified. Sanctified completely. Every true believer in Jesus Christ is right now, having been reconciled by the death of his Son, having received peace from God through the blood of his cross, every believer is truly accepted before God, faultless, holy, without blame. They must be, or God could not accept them at all. Now then, look at the next verse. What is the evidence? Now these are marvelous promises. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of God. And he hath reconciled us to God in the body of his flesh on the cross. He has made peace with God through the blood of his cross, that he might present us holy, unblameable, unreprovable in Almighty God's sight. Well, what is the evidence? What is the proof that a man is truly in Christ, that he's truly a recipient of these mercies, that he is among those who are justified and sanctified and accepted? Verse 23. And here's my text. If, there's the big word, if he will present you holy, he will present you unblameable, he will present you unreprovable in God's sight, if you continue in the faith of Jesus Christ, grounded and settled, and be not moved away for any reason from the hope of the gospel of his Son. There it is. There's the evidence, and there's the proof. If you continue. Now, to continue in the faith, you've got to be in the faith. And if you're truly in the faith, you'll continue in the faith. John said, if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But it is evident from the fact that they left us that they never were of us. So those who are holy, unblameable, unreprovable, and faultless, and reconciled, and justified, and accepted in Jesus Christ are those who, by the grace of God, believe on Christ, trust in Christ, rest in Christ, and continue in Christ and die in the faith. That's what this is saying. In the body of his flesh, he hath reconciled you, and he will present you holy, perfectly holy, perfectly righteous, unblameable, unreprovable, in God Almighty's own sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, firmly established, rooted, and be not moved away for any reason from the hope of the gospel. In the light of that, preacher, I have some questions for you, all right? Go ahead and ask them. Well, preacher, do you believe that all of those people who are walking the aisle today in these huge meetings, in these emotional services, making professions, going to the front, signing cards, going to the inquiry room, do you believe these people are saved? Do you believe these people really know God? No, sir, I do not. I do not. Well, don't you believe that the majority of church members across this country, they're people who've been sprinkled and they've been baptized and they've been brought into the church and they've been pressured into membership and they've joined by proxy and moved their letters and they're on the church roll. Don't you believe those people are saved and they know God? No, sir, I do not. I do not. Well, why do you say that, preacher? That's a serious charge. I know it is indeed a serious charge. But I'm here to tell you, and I've just got through reading it to you from the Scriptures. This thing of salvation is not professing religion. It's not joining a church. This thing of salvation and eternal life is knowing God. Knowing God by faith in Jesus Christ, and it's continuing in that knowledge of God and in that faith of Christ Jesus and in that walk of faith and in that hope of the gospel. It's a continuance. Where do you see any perseverance today? Where do you see any continuing today? Most churches are just constant turnovers. It's almost like the average vacation land, people coming and people going all the time. But true believers don't come and go, they come and stay. True believers don't come, believe, and leave, they believe and stay. That's what he's saying here. He hath reconciled you, he will present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable, if you continue in the faith. Grounded and settled, like a rock, for we are built on a rock. Grounded and settled, and be not moved away for any reason from the hope of the gospel. You see, this thing of salvation is not a new profession, it's a new creature. A new creature in Christ Jesus. There's a heart work. It's a new nature. It's the nature of God. God said, I'll take away the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. It's a new life. Our Lord said those who know him will have within them a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. It's a new way. It's a new family. Listen to the Scriptures. Would you listen to God's Word? Our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. They follow me. Another shepherd they will not follow. A stranger they will not follow. They follow me. They follow in the path of Christ, in the way of Christ. He said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. He said, if any man would be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow me. And then the Apostle Paul, I believe, was the writer of the book of Hebrews. He said, Christ Jesus is the Son over his house. He's the Lord and ruler over his house, whose house we are. If, there's that word again, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, until life is over, until it can be said of us as it was said of the prophets of old, they died in the faith. And no, sir, I do not believe that this present day, join today, leave tomorrow, up today, down tomorrow, in today, out tomorrow, on the roll today, never seen again, is salvation. Not in any shape, form, or fashion. I deny it. And then again, Paul said, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence unto the end. Unto the very end. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, he said again, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, and they do that for a thousand reasons, just hurt somebody's feelings and he'll quit worshiping God. Just sing the wrong song and half a row will leave. There's so many ways that people get their feelings hurt and depart from worshiping the living God. They never did worship him. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, God said. But thank God, Paul said, we're not of them that draw back, but we're of them that continue to believe to the saving of the soul. Continue to believe. Perseverance in the faith. Our Lord said, he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You see, and Paul brought this lesson to us. Those folks that despise Moses' law, that Old Testament covenant, that Old Testament law, that consisted of types and patterns and pictures, and those that slighted that law and disregarded that law, died without mercy. Of how much sore punishment shall he be counted worthy who walks under his feet the very blood of the Son of God, who professes, yes, I'm a Christian, yes, I'm a believer, yes, I love Christ, yes, I believe the Bible, and then walks away, turns his back. Now read that text again. In Christ, that's where all the fullness of God, glory, grace, life, it's in Christ. And he reconciled us to God by the blood of his cross, made peace by the blood of his cross, to present us holy and unblameable and reprovable in God's sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, are you grounded? Are you settled? And if you be not moved away, it doesn't matter the purpose. You can't justify departing from Christ. You can't justify absence from the praise and worship of God. You can't justify unbelief. And if you be moved away from the hope of the gospel, there's no hope. You see, that faith that saves and that hope of the gospel will continue throughout life. Salvation is not response to an emotional appeal by an evangelist. That's not salvation. I don't come to the end of this program and ask you to touch the television or reach out to me or do all these things. I do come to the end of my message and I'd say to you, look to Christ, call upon the name of the Lord, seek the Lord, search the scriptures, count the cost. If God be pleased to reveal Christ to your heart, embrace him, look to him, believe on him. Salvation is not just making a public response to an emotional appeal by an evangelist. It's not just following religious tradition and ceremony. I'm a Protestant, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Jew, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian. I wish we didn't have those names. A believer is a child of God. This thing of salvation, this faith in Christ, this hope of the gospel is not turning over a new leaf and reforming your life. It's not being a member of some church, a supporter of some religious movement, a supporter of some preacher. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. God doesn't dwell in these big old cathedrals and churches and ridiculous buildings. God is in Christ. And we know God as we know Christ. In closing, I want to suggest four things to you. Four things. This is the hope of the gospel. This is that faith that saves. I verily believe that the hope of the gospel, a true, genuine hope which continues, that faith that saves, that faith that continues, number one, it arises from a right knowledge of Almighty God. Not just an emotional appeal or a psychological appeal or a death in the family or a sickness or something like that that sets you off. But this thing of saving faith, this hope of the gospel, the very basis of it is a right knowledge of Almighty God. A right knowledge of God. Our Lord in John 17 prayed, Father, thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. And this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now would you know God? Would you know God? In 1 John 5:20, the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. This is not an emotional appeal. This is not response to an emotional appeal. This is an understanding. The Son of God has given us an understanding that we may know God that is true, and that we're in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. This is eternal life. God's not who we suppose He is, or who we think He is, or who somebody says He is. God's who He is. God's who He is, in Christ. He's revealed in Christ. He's declared in His Word. He's eternal. He's holy. He's just and righteous. He's merciful. He is love. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. I ask you to sit down and count the cost. I say, take the Word. Find out who God is. Find out who God is. Don't trust your feelings or your emotions or your experiences. Who is God? God's eternal. God's holy. God's just. God's righteous. Thank God He's merciful. And when a person finds out who God is, that doesn't change. Throughout his whole life, that's who God still is. And he grows in a knowledge of the greatness and glory and majesty of God. You can make a profession of religion, quit tomorrow. But if you ever find out who God is, you'll never quit. He's still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Find out who God is. And then the fear of the Lord will be in your heart, and the glory of God will be revealed to you. And then secondly, the hope of the gospel arises not only out of a knowledge of who God is, but it arises out of a knowledge of ourselves. The man who truly knows God will know himself. He'll discover himself. Job did. He said, Lord, I've heard of you now. I see you. And I hate myself. I hate myself. I repent in sackcloth and ashes. I've seen the Lord. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord and I cried, woe is me. Under God, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I've seen the Lord. That's what happens. The man who truly sees God sees himself. And that never changes. I could take you to the scripture this today and show you how sin entered the world through Adam, how sin passed upon all men, how God will punish sin. But the way to discover sin is to discover the holiness and majesty and glory of Almighty God. And that doesn't change. It's not something I leave tomorrow. Well, I got religion. I left it. Yeah, you will if you get religion. You'll finally leave it, or ought to. But if you ever find out who God is, that never changes. Because then you find out who you are. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. I need mercy. I need help. And then this faith and hope of the gospel arises out of a knowledge of who Christ is. The person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I find out who God is, dwelling in a light to which no man can approach, and I find out who I am and how far I am from God, and that my sins have separated me and that holy God, then I've got to have somebody to bring me to God. In Adam, I lost the way. I lost the truth. I lost my life. I need a mediator. Who shall it be? There's only one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. When the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son into the world, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. God set him forth as a propitiation. And I discover that. And that never changes. That doesn't change. There's no way you can make me mad enough to forget who Christ is. There's no way you can hurt my feelings and make me leave him who's my only hope, my propitiation, my high priest, my mediator, my mercy seat. You quit. I'm not. I need Jesus. I need Christ. Do you see what I'm saying? You sit down and count the cost. You ask God to reveal to you who he is, and then you'll find out who you are. And then you'll find out who Christ is. And you know what'll happen? You'll come to Christ. You'll cast yourself on him. You'll say with Paul, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him until the day of judgment. It's in his hands. That's real.